you would, in your Bibles tonight, we're going to go to a couple places. The first place I want you to go is the book of 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter number 11. And then if you keep your finger in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and then find Psalm 51, something really wonderful and encouraging and enlightening about the life of David. So many times you can read his story in one of the historical books, and then you can read his reaction in the Psalms. And Psalm 51 is David's reaction to 2 Samuel 11 and 12. And we're going to begin our reading tonight in 2 Samuel chapter number 11. And just to give you a heading and a setting that David was in, David had been through a lot. He had conquered Goliath. He had been run off the throne by Saul. He had seen God conquer that enemy, and now he's been ruling and reigning the nation of Israel as God promised he would for many years. And as the king of Israel, David begins to get comfortable. By the way, we seem to have this yearning and longing for comfort as people, but what I'm finding out is when I get comfortable, I get complacent, and when I get complacent, I'm bad to do the wrong thing. How many of you can identify with that? And so when we get to a situation that is uncomfortable, let's just remember that God proves himself faithful in the most uncomfortable seasons, and we grow and become more like him during difficult times. But we need to be careful when things get easy or when things, the load seems to lighten, then let's not get comfortable and complacent and miss God's will. So if you look with me in your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter number 11, with your finger in Psalm 51, let's look at the first few verses and we'll see what happens to David. The Bible says in verse number 1 of 2 Samuel 11, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, 'I am with child.'" David's made a terrible mistake. David has become at ease in Zion, and he's been tempted by the lust of his flesh, the pride of his life, and he finds out that Bathsheba, one of his soldier's wife, is great with his child. And so, what does David do? David continues in his sin. The Bible says that David, in verse number 6, David sent to Joab. That was his general in the field. David sent to Joab saying, "Send me Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba." Uriah the Hittite, and Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down into his house," David said unto Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thine house?" And Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abode in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink, and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." And David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And David had called him. He did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. Now we'll stop our reading right there. There's an interesting thing going on here. David has made a terrible mistake. David has a plan. He's like, I'm going to take care of this. I'll bring Uriah off the battlefield, and he and his wife will spend the night together. I'll not be guilty of this great crime. Nobody will know the difference. It'll all be over. But we understand that's not how it goes. Uriah comes off the battlefield, and he is such a man of valor. By the way, he has more character than King David himself. He says, I'm not going to go and enjoy the pleasures of my home, knowing that my men and my soldiers and my general is out on the battlefield. And he slept on the porch with the other servants of David. They got him drunk. He did the same thing. And you know what David does? An awful thing. David does an awful thing. David says, if Uriah won't make the plan work, he writes a letter to his general in the field, Joab. The letter says, go to war, go to battle, send Uriah to the front so that he'll be killed. Just do what you've been told. David writes the letter, seals it and closes it, and hands it to Uriah. And this faithful man carries his own death sentence to the battlefield. It happens. He goes to the front lines. Uriah is killed. Word comes back. Joab jabs at David a little bit about how awful the thing that he's done was. And here's David's reply. Look what the Bible says in verse number 25. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. What did he say? David, in his cold heartedness, had just sealed the doom of this man and got word that the murder that he committed in his own hands was complete. And his response was, you know, it happens. It's just as likely for one man to die of the sword as the other. And he explains away how terrible his situation was. But I want you to know something. Here's what the Bible says. David had it in the bag, so to say. Uriah was dead, the only person that could testify to the fact that the baby wasn't his. Uriah was dead. David could call Bathsheba to be his wife. But here's what the Bible says, and it's very important. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. And she became his wife and bare him a son. Look at the last phrase, verse 27. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Now, folks, that truth should sink deep into our hearts. The thing that he did displeased the Lord. It should be our goal in life to please God. And David thought, I'm clean, I've got all this worked out, but the thing he did displeased God. And God sends his messenger. Look what the Bible says, verse 12. The Bible says, and the Lord sent Nathan. Nathan's the prophet. The Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in the city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. He begins to tell him a story. He says there's a rich man and a poor man. The rich man has lots of flocks, and then the poor, verse number 3. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. They'd made a pet out of this little ewe lamb. How many of you ever had a ewe lamb you made a pet? I understand. They made a pet out of this little ewe lamb. So this poor man has one little lamb. And the Bible says, and there came a traveler a visitor unto the rich man. And he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd. So the rich man had many, but he wouldn't take of his own flock or herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. What's the story say? Nathan's looking at David and he's saying, David, I want to tell you a story. Here's the story. There was a rich man with a lot of sheep. There was a poor man with one. The rich man, when he had a guest come to his house, instead of taking one of his own, he took the poor man's only lamb, the one that was their pet. He slaughtered that thing, prepared it, and fed it to his guest. Well, when David the king hears the story from Nathan the prophet, his blood pressure begins to rise. He's angry. And David cries out in verse number 5. Here's what he says. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the land fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, look at the next phrase, you see it? Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. What did Nathan say to David? Nathan said, you did that to Uriah the Hittite. You did that. Now, you know what? I see David in so many of us. We have this idea that we would never do something like that. We would never act like that. We'd never say something like that. We would never do this, but we're guilty of the same sin. We live in our pompous self-righteousness, and David was that way. David said, you know what? I'll tell you what's going to happen to that rich man. He'll pay fourfold, and he's going to get it from the king. David says, you're the one that did it. You're guilty. Thou art the man. The Bible says in verse number 7, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. He said, I've given you so much, and yet you've sinned against me. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in the sight? Thou hast killed Uriah. Who killed Uriah? Physically and in person, David was miles and miles away. The enemy killed Uriah, but who does God hold accountable for Uriah's murder? God says, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Here's something interesting to me that happens in this story. I promise we're getting the message. It's a long introduction, a short message. Here's something interesting to me. In just a few minutes, David is going to be forgiven of his sins. But for the rest of David's life, the consequences of his sins are going to be felt. The sword will never leave his home. There's going to be trouble with Absalom. There's going to be trouble with Amnon. There's going to be trouble with others in his family. And David's sinfulness cost him, his family, a lot of suffering. I just want you to know something. If you decide to develop your own system of morality and excuse away your responsibility to be obedient to God's word and do things God's way, you not only cause yourself a lot of grief, it may cost your family dearly. That's what happened to David. The Bible continues in verse number 11, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. I've sinned against the Lord. David confesses his sin. God forgives his sin. Isn't that exciting? David confesses sin. God forgives his sin, and David learns an amazing lesson, something that we can learn from. Now, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is the great repentant psalm of David. After this meeting with Nathan, after this conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, after his confession, God leads him to pen this psalm. The Bible says in Psalm 51, verse number 1, you can hear David crying. He's repenting of his sin. He's broken. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, verse number 6, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Look what the Bible says, verse 6. Thou desirest truth, where? In the inward parts. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Now, David come to realize something. What God wanted was to get to the heart of the matter. David was willing to make a sacrifice. He sacrificed Uriah. He's willing to make a sacrifice. He sacrificed his credibility with Joab. He was willing. David was willing to, you know, to try to make up for his wickedness. He said, I'll take care of that rich man that took advantage of the poor man. He was willing to take care of the outside, the appearance. But he learned something from God, that God desires truth in the inward parts. Do you know where God wants you to get right with him? Not on the outside. God wants you to get right with him on the inside. He wants you to be clean. He wants you to be forgiven. He desires that you get thoroughly right with him. Stop hiding your sin. Stop faking your relationship with God. Repent, turn, trust and believe God. He'll keep his word. Thou desirest truth. In the inward parts of the Bible says, verse number 16 of Psalm 51, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. God desires truth in the inward parts. You know what we want to do sometimes in our minds? We think, if I can do something good, then maybe I can offset my bad. If I can offer God something good, I'll put a little extra in the offering plate this week. Or I'll become a little more faithful in church. If I can do something good, if I can make a sacrifice, then surely somehow I can satisfy the demands of God. But I want you to know something. You have an inferior view of God if you believe somehow some good deed is going to be a substitute for getting thoroughly right with God. You see, God does not need our sacrifice. God doesn't need our extra money in the offering plate. God doesn't need our little extra faithfulness at church. He wants us to give. He wants us to be faithful. But if you do these deeds in order to somehow appease your conscience and make an outward gesture to the neglect of an inward purity, that's not what God wants. You know why? Because God loves you so much. He knows that if you do not have truth in the inward parts, then you are missing out on God's greatest blessing and benefit, a faithful relationship with him. Tonight's message is simply titled this, Truth in the Inward Parts. Truth in the inward parts. If you turn back to our text tonight, 2 Samuel chapter number 11, we'll just roll through some things you've already heard and make some points and application I believe will be a help to you. God desires truth in the inward parts. What did David do? David did what all of us like to do. He tried to cover up his sin. You know, our first reaction when we mess up, when we do things wrong, is to try to cover it up and hide it. But God doesn't desire that you make a cover up. God desires you get thoroughly right. What did David do? He says, I got a plan. I'll bring Uriah home. He'll be with his wife. That'll take care of everything. I can deny everything with Bathsheba. Everything will be just fine. The problem is he met somebody with character that he did not have. He tried to cover it up. Folks, I want you to know something. Even if you get by with covering up your sin, you will not get by with covering up your sin. Does that make sense? You see, what did the Bible say? The thing that David did displeased Bathsheba. It probably did, but that's not the point. The thing that David did displeased David. It probably did, but that's not the point. The thing that David did displeased God. And God's cry to David is, get right. Don't cover it up. Have truth in the inward parts. The king covered it up. He says, I'll bring Uriah home. I'll have your. Then he says, I'll have to have Uriah killed. He says, hey, now Uriah's dead. I've made an excuse with Joab. I can actually be the savior here. He says, I'll tell you what, Uriah died. If I have to, I guess I could just call Bathsheba to come and be my wife. He tried to make himself look better. But I want you to know something. He may have fooled the whole world, but he didn't fool God. May God help us to be understanding the fact that God wants us to be thoroughly right with him, not because he wants to beat us down, because he wants to bless us. Why did God want David to get thoroughly right? Why did God put in David's heart to have truth in inward parts? Because God wanted what was best for David. And he knew that David couldn't have God's best while he was hiding his sin. Truth in the inward parts, the king's cover up. Folks, don't try to cover it up. Get it right. Give it to God. Number two, Nathan's call. Nathan's call. What did Nathan do? God sent Nathan. God sent the preacher. I'm always amazed at times when folks come to me and they say, that's what I needed. And I never would have thought anything about their situation. I don't ever think that I've got what you need. I just try to faithfully preach God's word. But God sent the preacher. And the preacher, led by the Spirit of God, hit the nail right on the head. Nathan came. Nathan boldly proclaimed the truth. And David repented of his sin. David confessed. David's confession was accurate and right. He says, I've sinned against God. And Jesus, God's son, and God forgave him. God forgave him. You know what happened? David got washed of his sin. He got forgiven. Truth in the inward parts. Folks, I want you to know something. God's cry and call to all of his people, it's not for us to act like Christians. Not for us to look like Christians. Not for us to give the facade of some form of faith. God's earnest desire is that you would have truth in the inward parts, and that from the inside out, God would revolutionize your life and change you and help you. And he doesn't send a scathing message. He doesn't send the call for repentance because he wants to hurt you or bind you or because he wants you to give him some sacrifice. He cries out that he desires truth in the inward parts because it is God's desire to bless you. It's God's desire to change your life. It's God's desire to use you for his glory. It's God's desire to direct you in clear and plain paths. It's God's desire to bless his children. And he will and he can bless us when there's truth in the inward parts. David helped me uncover something I thought was quite interesting as we close tonight. David and Bathsheba end up having four children. I can't remember all their names. I can remember two. One of the children's name was Solomon. You know Solomon, right? One of the less famous children that David and Bathsheba had, his name was Nathan. Do you know what that tells me? King David, at the worst time in his whole existence, when he messed up so bad, in a season where he really got called out on the carpet, in a moment when he was terribly embarrassed and brokenhearted, no doubt, about his sin with Bathsheba, God gave he and Bathsheba a little boy. You know what he said? He said, Bathsheba, he was born, the baby cried. He says, Bathsheba, God gave us a boy. You know what we ought to name him? We ought to name him Nathan. I'm so thankful that God gave the preacher enough guts to come and straighten me out. I'm so glad that God sent his message and his word to me. And I'm so thankful that we got thoroughly right. Bathsheba, I'm so thankful we got thoroughly right with God. Because I believe God can use these kids. And I believe God can use our family in spite of our error and our mistake. He said, let's call him Nathan. Let's call him Nathan. Because we're so thankful that God sent his word through his servant in order that we might get thoroughly right with God. You know what God wants for you? Truth in the inward parts. Don't try to fool nobody because you can't fool God. Don't try to fool yourself. If your heart has turned cold against God, if the path of your life has turned away from the clear-cut principles of God's word, if you're living in sin, you know what God wants? God wants truth in the inward parts. Why? Because he wants to devastate? No, because he wants to revolutionize your life. I'll have you know something. As long as you live in sin, you'll never have God's blessing. As long as you live in sin, your greatest aspirations and plans will be devoid of God's blessing. Who wants that? You say you believe in God, yet you live in sin against his word, and somehow think God will bless anyway. I want to faithfully and friendly and lovingly warn you. God's word to all of his people is that he desires truth in the inward parts. That part that nobody else can see. God desires truth in the inward parts. And I want to encourage you to do something. Boldly stand up against sin and get right with God and enjoy the benefits of a life of God's blessing. Truth in the inward parts. May we learn something from David and Bathsheba and Nathan. May God help us. You'll be so glad that you repented of your sin and turned to the Lord. You'll be so glad you did. God desires truth in the inward part.